morning, everyone. We'll welcome you to Blount Springs. Lord, let's lift our voices this morning as we praise the Lamb of God. Amen.
Church, sing it out. Praise the name of the Savior this morning. Hallelujah.
celebrate our Savior this morning.
Oh, Got to tell you all yet, so I'll tell you good morning and a happy Sunday. It's good to see each and every one of you here. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, as Chris probably read for you earlier. I can't do that. We did this on Wednesday. I don't like it. I have a hard enough time without distraction. Everybody said amen, amen. What do you think we need to do? Before I get started, when I get started, I don't want to go. Do you think I need to unplug this and plug it back? No? You got me? All right, here we go. Whew, the devil's already doing his thing. He don't want y'all to hear this. So we've all heard the phrase, don't judge me. You've probably said it. I say it in fun. I have some fun with certain people about this phrase. You know, it's just something that's very prominent in society today. We'll quickly say, don't judge me.
Sometimes we say it when we're caught in something. Sometimes we say it when we're embarrassed. Sometimes we're just simply avoiding confrontation and further conversation. A couple of questions for you guys as we get started. Number one, who knows what it feels like to be judged? Well, y'all doing pretty good. Y'all must have good friends. Who knows what it feels like to do the judging? I judged two preachers yesterday. Pastor? Just being honest with you. I was at a funeral and I thought, man, how's this going to go? How are they going to preach? Well, how are they going to do? And I sat there and I watched them. I evaluated, you know, not in a bad way, but I was paying attention to what they were doing. We all have these areas in our life where we're guilty of that. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, do not judge so you will not be judged. Now that verse gets quoted a lot, usually just to shut people up. You can't judge me. Only God can judge me. That's fair. But Jesus wasn't saying to Christians, don't think. Don't use your brain. Don't pay attention. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, don't call sin a sin. He ain't saying that either. But Jesus is telling us today that we need to stop pretending to be God if we think we are. Because ain't none of us God. He's not forbidding discernment. He's forbidding hypocrisy. The truth is, he doesn't want us to be blind. He wants us to be honest. He doesn't tell us to stop helping others. He's telling us you might need to help yourself first. He doesn't tell us to stop sharing truth. He tells us to share truth with grace and wisdom. I titled this, Don't Judge Me. And I hope that at the end of this, we'll have three things that you can replace judgment with in your life that will bring glory to God. Don't judge me, and instead, discern with grace. Discern with grace. Look at verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Judge in the Greek is krino. I don't do this a lot anymore, but I think it's important for us to really understand this word because it's the whole sermon hinges upon this word judge. It has two meanings, just like I think it has in English today. It can mean analyze or evaluate, which is good. That's kind of discernment, analyzing and evaluating. There's another side, as we have, that is, to condemn. And see, that's what I've always thought. The Lord's had this on my heart for several months now. I'm not even thinking I was going to. He just started working on me several months ago. See, when I think about judging, and somebody says, don't judge me, I said, don't worry about it. I can't give you a verdict. I'm not in a position of authority. I can't punish you of your sins. I can't tell you whether you're going to go to hell or heaven. I don't have that authority. And that's the other side of judging. Jesus is not saying, do not think critically. Do not use the thing in between your two ears. Don't use your brain. We are to think critically. We are to evaluate. We are to analyze. Those are all good things. But Jesus is telling us and cautioning us to refrain from condemning other people. That's where we go bad wrong. If we're not the judge, who is? John 5:22. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. Jesus is the judge. Let's just all be clear on that. Jesus is the one judge. What did Paul teach about judging others? I've got two scriptures here. Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. We're not to judge other people's servants. 1 Corinthians 4, 4 through 5, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Who's going to sign up and get in line to have our hearts exposed for what they really are? Paul's main point is that man is not God. That should be one of our main points that you take out of here today. No human being is qualified to be the judge of his fellow humans, for we cannot read each other's hearts. I do not know what's going on in your heart. Right now, I can look out, I can have your full attention, both eyes, it looks like both ears, you're pointing in my direction. I have no idea what you're thinking. I'm kind of glad I don't. Amen. You said amen. I don't know what you think. I don't know. But you know who does? Jesus does. I was reading recently in my quiet time in John chapter 2, there, I think it's 24 and 25. Jesus is doing these miracles. People are following him. Large groups of people are coming to him and coming to him. And if it had been me, I'd be excited. I got a crowd, baby. Look at them. They love me. They love me. But Jesus, he didn't pay no attention. He said, I know what's in the heart of men. And how many people that we care about that follow us today, whether it be personally or social media, if we really knew why they were following us, if we'd care that much about it? Our hearts. But we don't know our hearts, so that's why we're poor judges. We only see the outside. Only God can see the inside. What is the danger of ignoring this command of Jesus? Or omitting, as we talked about 2 weeks ago. He says that we'll be judged by the same system that we use on other people. If your system is harsh, what should you expect? Harshness. If your standard is mercy, then what could you expect? Mercy. In other words, you'll be measured by your own measuring stick. How's that look for you? Here's a big question. I'm not speaking for you. I'm speaking for myself, but I'm going to say the plural. We love to be the God of judgment. But do we love to be the God of grace? We are all quick to judge and tell you exactly what you deserve, but are we that quick to tell you how much we're going to love you in spite of that? How we're going to forgive you even though you don't deserve it? Now that changes things. Let's discuss some situations where we prove to be poor judges, possibly. When we assume someone's spiritual maturity based upon how they dress or how they conduct themselves or the speech that they use, you know, we can look at that. I can tell you ain't wearing that. Or you are wearing that, or I can tell you ain't been a Christian very long. You don't really love the Lord if that's all you can wear. Or if you're going to talk about that, well, you must not know Jesus. Or I can just tell, I've been around you for 30 seconds. I know how deep you are. Do you? When we judge someone's heart because they sin differently than we do. Because they're doing the things we ain't struggling with. Because they're doing the things that can be observed. When we're doing just as many, if not more, they just kind of hidden. They're in our heart. They're not, you can't tell that I'm doing those things. I got one more. Y'all looking mad. When we forget how God found us in our sin. Has anybody forgot? I try to never forget this, and I'd encourage you to never forget. God found you. You didn't find God. You didn't wake up one Tuesday morning and say, today's the day that I'm going to go find God and I'm going to have a relationship with him. No, likely you were just wandering around one day and he came up and he tapped you on the shoulder and said, I'm Jesus, I love you. and he enabled you to believe in him. You didn't deserve it no more than I did. I didn't deserve it any more than you did. We don't need to forget that, because that puts us all in the same boat, and we never get in this place of judgment and thinking that somebody else don't deserve it and we did. The rationale should be clear. If we pose as judges, because we can't be them, we're just posing. If we pose as judges, we cannot plead ignorance of the law we claim to be enforcing. That, I said that kind of complex. I'm going to try to make it simple. If we're out there trying to be the judge instead of God and telling everybody this and this and this and this, what we're saying is that we fully understand every bit of the law, we're following it, and we're here to enforce it. And they ain't not a one of y'all in that position. Me first. I'm not in that position. I don't know all the things. I can't control what I'm doing from one second to the next. So why in the world would I be out there trying to make you do it? I'm just being honest. I hope you can be honest with yourself too this morning. When Jesus commands us to judge not, he isn't calling us to be blind. He's calling us to be generous, graceful. He's not saying suspend all discernment. He's saying surrender all your arrogance. He's not asking us to stop thinking. He's just telling us to stop playing and pretending to be God ourselves. Because we're not. We never will be. Galatians 6:1 is a good verse to kind of close this up on. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. You know the fastest way I've found to invite sin into my life? Is to go and condemn somebody for doing it. Boy, it'll be at my doorstep faster than Amazon can get there. Don't judge me, rather discern with grace. Let's move on to our second truth. Don't judge me, rather help me see clearly. Help me see clearly. Verses 3 through 5. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I don't know that that can be said better or more visual. It seems like hyperbole. You've got one person who is in fault with a piece of pepper. That's kind of why I see it. Like a little piece of pepper maybe right there on the white of their eye. And then here I come and I'm going to help you. Let me get to that speck. But that's what he's saying. Is he being serious? Yeah. We're all fallen humans. We're all broken. Everybody after the fall of Adam. We're all sinners. So we're in no position to stand in judgment of our fellow sinners. We're disqualified from the bench. We have a fatal tendency to magnify others' faults while minimizing our own. Anybody guilty? I got a couple of examples. Y'all love my examples. He cusses all the time. Filthy mouth. But yet, you can't say a sentence without using your justified cuss word. Nobody? Okay. What's the difference? Really? At the end of the day, what's the difference? I'm guilty. They only attend church once a month. But we'll sit here and you ain't heard a word I said. Ain't sung the first verse of a song, but you were here. What's the difference? Not much. Jesus told a parable about our willingness to judge the sins of others to elevate ourselves. It's kind of lengthy passage. Just follow along with me. We'll put it on the screens. Luke 18, 9 through 14. And he also, Jesus also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And so, in case you're not familiar with this, Pharisees were the religious elite in the Jewish kind of system. Tax collectors, the bad sinner that everybody hated. They were still Jewish, but they hated them because they collected taxes for Rome. Okay. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. I love this. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, you're going to notice a stark difference. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes unto heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Here's the lesson. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Who went to their house justified? The Pharisee that boasted of all the good things that he had done, or the tax collector who just asked what it, they just played it straight. I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. The tax collector. Jesus teaches that only the honest and humble sinner will be forgiven. This past week, for those who were here on Sunday, y'all got to meet Brother Robin. So Brother Robin is a diabetic. Brother Robin is not supposed to be eating sweets. Brother Robin loves sweets. He especially loves Reese Cups. Well, he had already had his dose of Reese Cups, and I've kind of made it my personal plight to help him to be compliant in his sugar intake. And he had already had, I don't know how many cookies and some Reese's, and I said, we got in the truck and he was going to eat another one. I said, Brother Robin, man, you quit eating all that sugar, man. You're gonna kill yourself. I don't know if you've got enough insulin to cover what you've already done. He said, who was it that just come out of the convenience store with two Monster energy drinks? So they were on sale. It was two for one. I had to get two. I drank them both. How much are we doing that in our lives? All the time. We should apply to ourselves at least as strict a critical standard as we apply to other people. At minimum. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. We are to discern our own sins fully, honestly, and correct them. The reward is that we live in such a way that glorifies God. But if we're never honest with our own sins, I don't know who's going to be. Is Jesus instructing us to never help our fellow believer with their speck? Here's where we got to be careful. This sermon is a lot about balance. We're never going on one side or the other. This thing lands right in the middle almost every time. So are we to never help our fellow believers with sin that they're struggling with? That's not what Jesus is saying. We are to help. We are to help, but there's a way. Jesus says in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, level two, take one or two more with you so that by mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Level three. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. There's a process. When we sin and we fall short and we need help from one another and accountability, there is a process. And I love that it starts off with private and not a Facebook post for everybody to see that we're trying to help our brother you know, and look at what he did. Private. He is not forbidding correction. He's commanding private, loving, humble care for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to play neither the judge, becoming harsh, censorious, and condemning, nor are we to play the hypocrite, blaming others while excusing ourselves. We're called to be the brother or sister, which is someone who cares enough to confront sin gently. That's not always easy. Gently, after first confronting whose sins? My own. Don't judge me. Help me see clearly. Lastly, don't judge me. Share Jesus with caution. Share Jesus with caution. Look at verse 6. Jesus says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn, and they will tear you to pieces." Without some degree of discernment, and that's what I was talking about with a balance. You know, we've said not to judge, and if you go too far that way, you're going to go past discernment, and you're going to go to ignorance. That's not what he's saying. We're right here in the middle. Discernment is good. And we know that for a fact, because if we didn't have discernment, we couldn't know what a pig was. We couldn't know what a dog was. We couldn't know what holy was. We couldn't know what a pearl is. So you've got to have discernment to know some of these things. But who are the dogs in this situation? Back in Jesus' day, they were wild pariah dogs, vagabonds and mongrels. And they scavenged around. They're not like the dogs today that we worship and they sit in our lap and we love them and we love them more than most people. These dogs were in the dump. When I was growing up, we had dump dogs, stray dogs. They lived at the dump and they ate y'all's trash. That's what he's talking about. These are not beautiful, groomed lap dogs. What about swine? That's pigs. If you ever had pigs, this is self-explanatory. They're unclean, they're filthy animals. They make good barbecue, but they're filthy animals. Ultimately, these are metaphors for stubborn unbelievers who live with no regard at all for God's truth. What is holy and pearls? That's the other object in this illustration. What is holy? What is pearls? The truth, the gospel, the good news, the message of salvation. That's what's holy. That's the pearls in Jesus' illustration. I think you all know this, but not everyone welcomes truth. Especially when it exposes sin or challenges your pride. We're in a difficult day with truth. Jesus warns that some will trample the gospel underfoot and even attack those who share it. Is this playing out in our world? Is this warning true? Proverbs gives a similar warning about offering wisdom to unreceptive people. Proverbs 9:8, "Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you." Discernment is essential. Not every heart is ready for every word in every moment. We got to tread carefully here. I don't want you to misunderstand me in any way. I have three things. Three deductions from Jesus' teaching here. Number one, Jesus is not teaching for us to refuse to share the gospel. Did y'all hear me? Jesus is not teaching us to refuse to share the gospel. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the Great Commission to go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's not telling us that. Jesus and Paul taught that there is a limit to sharing. That's a hard truth. I lean evangelistic. I love sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I love telling other people about Jesus and what he's done. So it's hard for me to think about that there could be a limit to that. But with Jesus' teaching and the two that I'm fixing to share with you, we'll see that it's true. The first one, Matthew 10:14, and this is Jesus. "Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet." Acts 18:5-6. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. He was sharing the gospel. He was evangelizing. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." It had a limit. When that happens, we must stop forcing the message, or we risk cheapening God's gospel. We risk taking the fine pearls and throwing it in the pig pen. It's a sad truth. And here's where I want to really be careful and make sure that if you tune me out, I need you to tune back in, because I don't need you to hear something that I'm not saying. I'm not telling you that I know every situation that this might apply to. I don't know. I don't know every situation. I don't know when for you it's time to follow this and when it's time to keep your hand to the plow and keep going. I don't know. And in my life, there's many situations that I don't know if I should keep on or if I've gotten to the point where I am throwing pearls to the swine. But here's what we can do. Well, here's what we can all do. We can be in prayer to God to get Him to tell us. Because I don't know. I will never know. But I can ask God prayerfully and meditate and listen to Him and know His direction on when it's time to do these things. And if you're in doubt, if I'm in doubt, I'm gonna give you my instruction. You can take it for however you, it may be for you, it may be not. If I'm in doubt, guess what I'm gonna do? If I'm wondering if I should do it again or not, guess what I'm probably going to err on the side of? I'm going to share it again. Because I would just hate to know that that was the time. They were going to hear it this time. God was going to effectually call them through that message of the gospel. And they said, so let's just err on it again. Let's tell them again. Years ago, I engaged in some door-to-door evangelism, and I remember two specifically as I was thinking about this. I remember one going up, and we had these little door hangers, and we'd go up, knock on the door, and we'd hang this little hanger on the door, and it was very nice. It was beautiful. I mean, it was not offensive at all. I mean, it was, the colors were good. The font was good, and I hung it up on it, and I was walking away, and I heard the door just whoo! You know, you can tell, like, the door just swung open. I could feel the air kind of come back in. And that guy got it. What are y'all doing, right? He went and had a few choice words, and not judging his words, but he took that little door hanger, and he tore it into a million pieces and just threw it in his yard. And I thought, well, you littered. You got to pick that up. And I wasn't excited about that, but that's kind of the way that we met. A couple of doors down. Knock on the door. Received. I'd love to hear about Jesus, share the gospel. I don't know who's going to do what. Our job is all the same. Go, share. Every door, every conversation requires discernment. I didn't go back to the guy that had just tore the thing up. I figured, hey, man, you know, I get it. I don't want to end up like that little door thing. But I had discernment, right? You have to have discernment in every situation. Prayerful discernment. Jesus isn't calling us to stop sharing the gospel. He's calling us to share it wisely. Be prayerful about timing and discerning about hearts. Discernment does not replace evangelism, it refines it. The same Spirit who sends you to speak, maybe, I don't know why the same Spirit couldn't tell you to walk away. Clearly, He had taught you, Jesus taught it, Paul and Silas experienced it. And sometimes the most powerful witness isn't another argument, which I like to do. It's a faithful prayer for them. Don't judge me. Share Jesus with caution. Jesus never said, don't think. He said, don't judge like your God. Jesus never said, don't help others. He said, deal with your own sin first. He never said, don't share the gospel. He said, don't cheapen it. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. So what kind of judge will you be? You get to make the choice. Will you be the kind of judge who condemns everybody? Or will you be the kind of judge and discerner who restores, who seeks to restore people? Are we going to be the one that throw the pearls of the truth to pigs? Or are we going to be the one who shares those pearls wisely with other people? Today, we've all got an opportunity to examine our own hearts. And we certainly need to do that before we start trying to examine somebody else's. I think we would do well to let humility lead when we speak. Not easy. And if you do have those situations where you're going to have to confront somebody, I would bathe that in prayer first. Let the Spirit go before you. And above all, something I've been thinking about that I could do a lot more that doesn't come easy to me, I'm just confessing my faults before you, is to always remember that it's grace that I pray for every day. It's part of my prayer every day. I ask God, I say, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And please, God, let me experience your grace and mercy tomorrow. And if that's what I'm praying all the time, I don't think I'm alone. Am I alone? And if we're not alone in praying for that, we need to consider that's what the other people are probably wanting more of too. Because it's what we've all experienced. And before we close, if you've never experienced God's grace and mercy, I want to encourage you to do that. He gave his life for it. No matter what you've done, no matter where you're at today, no matter what sins you've committed, Christ's blood is enough to cover them. And he wants to give it to you. And so today, if you've not had a moment, and you couldn't take me back to a moment where you have prayed, where you have believed that Jesus is God's Son, and you have placed your faith in him, you have prayed and asked him to help you to follow him and ask him for forgiveness of sin, you can do that today. Today is the salvation for that. And I'd encourage you, if you've never done that, I hear all the time talking about heaven and eternal life, and those are awesome, and I can't wait. But the life that we have today because of the Holy Spirit that indwells us after we believe is pretty awesome. And it's true life. It's real life. And it can begin today through belief and confession in Jesus Christ. If you would, please stand. If you have, the altar is open down here today. And if you have any, obviously we welcome you to that. And if you have any need, I'll be down front.